All right. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 11. We're going to be tonight, try to bring us some things about Barnabas tonight, that we need some members just like Barnabas. And that's what we need to do. We need to try to do what we can to build up the kingdom of God. And I think as long as we can, we look at it that way, instead of just trying to build up the church here, we just need to think on building up the kingdom of God. And when we do that, then we're thinking about the individual soul, because we know that no one can be able to enter in there without knowing Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And we need to let them know about some things about the kingdom of God. And we need to let them know about some other things that other people have said through the Word of God and here tonight. And what time we have remaining. And I'm going to try my very best not to preach an hour or nothing. Because my daughter's already given me the order not to, because she's working, and she's going to start having to be working late each and every night, and she won't go home until after we get that. And she says, and I don't want to go home no 10, 11 o'clock at night. Because she has to get up and go to work early in the morning. But she knows that I'm not going to quit until the Lord says quit.
Or
the
Holy Spirit.
Huh?
She's having my
shit
tell you that you're preaching.
Oh, man, she is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah, people have to go home to work tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Acts chapter 11. Let's start reading down here, verse 18. Acts chapter 11, starting with verse 18. It says, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also... Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen travailed as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, whom when he come and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exalted them all, that with the purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus, for he seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. We see right here about Barnabas. We see where Barnabas was speaking about the church. And I think today that we're living in, people in general looks at the church in a different aspect than what even Barnabas looked at it. And even us, we know what the church is all. We know what the true church is. It's not this building. It's not that sign out there because it has Faith Baptist Church on it. It is the people that's inside here that they've had faith in none other than the Lord Jesus Christ to save their soul. But people today, they look at the church as a building. They look, well, I can't come down there. Y'all got too much work I see has got to be done down there. I can't come because I don't see no handicap ramp. I can't come because they don't have this and they don't have that. People come up with excuses today to not to be in God's house. You know the reason why they don't want to come to God's house? It's because I believe that they're scared that they will get saved. I believe that they're scared that they will hear the word of God and the Holy Spirit will convict them. Which they don't know anything about, none of that. But I think they believe that they get here and come to church. They say, What's this thing about church? What is it all about? I mean, here it is. You go down there well, three times a week. On Sunday, you spend 2 hours in the morning, 1 hour in the afternoon, and then another hour on Wednesday. And then if you have a revival, you spend probably 2 hours each night. What goes on there? Why do they keep going? I don't see what the big deal is all about. You know the reason they don't see what the big deal is all about? Because they don't know Jesus. He is the big deal. He is the one that supplies the joy in my heart. I'd rather be here tonight than any other place that I know of. I'd rather be here than if I got an invitation to go to Washington, D.C. or New York City to see the president-elect, Donald Trump. And going to New York, yes, if I went into the Trump Towers where he lives there, yes, I would be around gold. But I would still rather be right here. You know why? Because I'm
right here with the people that knows all about the gold. Because one day, we're going to be standing on gold. And we're going to be walking on gold. Well, if I went to the Trump Towers up there, and if I went around and touched something, they probably got a man come out, rubbing it around, cleaning it up. Hey, I don't need that. I need the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God I have him. I thank God every day that I have the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank God every day that I have the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that keeps me alive. It's the Holy Spirit that dwells up within me. And yes, sometimes I just want to cry. But I don't know why I can't. I mean, the tear ducts, my tear ducts are just dried up. I mean, I asked the eye doctor one time, I says, how do you open the tear ducts up? And he said, well, have you got stoppers in them? I said, what? I didn't know that. The eye doctors, they can put stoppers in your ear and in your eye ducts, in your tear ducts there, to where you just won't. I don't know what it is. I don't know what they call it. But I don't want nothing in my tear ducts. I want my tear ducts open. And you know how I get them open? Get along with God. Get along with God. And then he'll open my tear ducts up. I don't know if y'all ever noticed him or not, but Brother Gene of Morgan, and when him and his wife come by and visit a couple times, You don't have to do anything. You don't have to get up here and I don't have to get up here and preach hard. I don't have to get up here and preach about this or that. Only thing I've got to do is just says, Jesus. And he will start bubbling over. He bubbles over from the inside out. And I've noticed preachers and evangelists at times have seen him and they say he's under conviction. I said, well, if he is, he's under conviction about something he's done wrong. But he's not under conviction about his soul. Hey, I want to enjoy this journey. Don't you? This journey is not going to last that much longer here. But thank God one day we're going to be there with the one that started your journey. Years and years and years ago. And I thank God that he said that whosoever call upon his name shall be saved. Amen. I sure am glad that when he said that whosoever, that meant me. It meant you. It meant everyone where he is put in the palm of his hand. He has the whole world in his hands. Right? That's what this song says. That's what the little children, when they sing that song. I have the whole world in my hand. And I sure am thankful. I'm thankful and I'm grateful of his many blessings. I don't deserve any of his blessings. But I sure am glad that he thinks I do. Ain't you?
Ain't you glad that, that God thinks of you, that you need His blessings? He needs our blessings. Hey, we need His blessings every day. But you know what? He will give us more when we bless Him. Nothing under the sun can compare to the blessings of God. Even with all the president-elect, Donald Trump, and all of his individuals that he has chosen, picked for his cabinet there in Washington, D.C., and majority of them are millionaires. But you have about three or four now is billionaires. But all of that don't compare to one God's blessings. None of that compare to one of God's blessings. I know people right today that's in church. Oh yes, they'd give up church. They'd do anything they could to have a portion of what they got. Not me. Because I'm so scared that if I was to say that, I wouldn't be around Him much longer. Why? Because I would be belittling the Lord Jesus. I wouldn't be grateful to what He has done for my life. That's the reason I say there's a whole lot of people that thinks that they may go to heaven, but compared to the fruit that they bear. And that's what God says. God says we must compare the individuals by the fruit. And He has certain fruits that we need to bear. And if you don't bear them fruits, and you still around here, something's wrong. I believe what he says there. I believe what Paul's saying. It says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There's not a whole lot of people that I know of today that when the body goes to the grave, their spirit's going to still be with them. Why? Because of the life that they think they may have. It ain't no hope so salvation. I was talking to an individual last week, and he was telling me and everything, and we was talking and everything, and he got to talking to me about some things, and I said, now, you are saved, ain't you? Because he's told me that before, he did saved. He says, I hope I am. I said, wait a minute, let's stop right there. Let's stop right there. He said, who you want? Where you getting to now? I said, you said a word there. Hope. Did you know that using that hope in the sentence that you used it in, was a negative hope? The only way that you can turn that negative into a positive is that you've got to know something.
And that's over in the book of James, I believe it's chapter 5, where you can know for a fact that if you was to drop dead right there where you at, that your spirit will be there in heaven with God. That's what you call a no-so. And in that no-so, then you have the hope in seeing Jesus. But you've got to have a no-so for it. No-so. I know I'm saved. I can't go to hell if I wanted to go to hell. Because I know I'm saved. I've had some people say, come up and say to me, say, I wouldn't have said that. I wouldn't have said it that way. I wouldn't have said that. I said, why?
I said, do you know for a fact that you're saved? I hope so. I said, there ain't no hope about it. It's a no-so. No is something positive that you have got it nailed down. You've got it nailed down. See, Barnum was here. He was a good man. But see, we have all kinds of people out here. They're good people. I have some friends. They're good friends. Are they Christians? The life that they live don't show it. But I pray for them. Oh yes, they'll talk to me and they'll talk to me about the church and this and everything. But then when you say, well, won't you come on church? Are you going anywhere? No, I'm not going nowhere. I said, you're not? I said, won't you come out there and give us a try? He said, I can stay home on Sunday. And I can sit in front of TV there and I can listen to preaching all I want to. And I don't have to dress up in a suit, a tie, white shirt, and burn my gas to come to church. I said, well, you're not going to church when you're sitting there in your bedroom or in your living room, in your pajamas, listening to a preacher. I said, because if something happens to you or your family, who are you going to call? Who are you going to call to conduct the funeral? Or who are you going to call to ask them if they'd go to the hospital? Who are you going to call? Well, I can call you and I know you'd go. Yeah, I'd go. But I tell them, and we need to all tell them too, that you don't have the right to call a pastor or a preacher from a local church where you turn around and you give your tithes and your offering and everything and your desire to the preacher that comes on the TV tube. You don't have that right to go and call a pastor or a preacher. You just need for somebody just to get up and say a few words for you. I said, you probably got family members to get up and do that. I said, but don't worry about the local church. Because you're not part of the local church. You're part of that TV crowd. And that TV crowd is sending more people to hell than I know of. Because hell is being enlarged every day because of what they preach on the TV tube. Now, I know some good preachers on there. And I know some of them, matter of fact, one has come from Danville. Well, I drive for Charles Stanley. Now, I don't agree with him in the Bible he's using. But he is a good man. And he does explain even the verses that he reads. He does explain it. He explains it, and yes, and he does quote some of the King James Version of the Bible. But he don't use that as his main text. First of all, he started out with the King James when he was in Danville, at Dry Fork. Then when he went to Georgia, he was still using the King James there for a while. And then his church started growing. Then he got away from it because people couldn't understand. He wanted to teach your people about the Bible and about what it says. I understand all of that. I understand that you want to let people know what the Bible says. But you can do the same thing using the King James as you can the NIV or the New Living Translation. But they'll use anything they don't want to. They say this, they say, the people come to me and they tell me, say, I don't understand what you read this morning. I don't understand what you read. And they're reading from a King James. Well, I'll go back to verse 26 in the 14th chapter of John. It says that the Holy Spirit. And speaking of the Holy Spirit, speaking of the Comforter, and he's speaking of me and you, all in that one sentence, in that one little verse. It says, the Comforter. Who is the Comforter? The Holy Spirit. Who is the Comforter? The Comforter is the Holy Ghost. What is the Comforter's job to do? His job is to comfort me and you. To where I won't get bogged down about this and about that. Because he wants me to stay. He wants me to stay positive and only go. He don't want me to be bogged down to the point that I'm just keep on reading, because I don't understand it. The reason I don't understand it that particular day, I'm not going to face the problem. But if I happen to end up at the end of the day facing that problem, before I face it, he's going to bring up the last part of that one little verse there. Says the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. He's going to bring back what words I have read through the Word of God back to my remembrance and what I need for that day and for what I need for that situation. He's not going to give me no more than what I need for today. He's not going to give me anything that I'm going to need for tomorrow. Not until tomorrow comes. But people today, they think, well, I ain't getting in that verse. Don't dwell on it. We dwell on it too much. I used to dwell on that all the time. I said, Lord, I don't understand what you're saying right there. But I understand what you're saying before these verses I just read. I can go to the next chapter and I can understand some of that. But this right here, I don't understand. He's going to say, son, you don't need it for today. When you need it, I will bring it up to you. I will bring it up to you to where you will know all about it in every aspect of what that verse is saying. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, will teach you all things. I don't need no man to teach me what the Word of God says. Now don't get me wrong. Now, the schooling, yes. Schooling, I don't deter that at all. I mean, people who want to go to schooling, they get all the schooling they can. But they better watch out when it comes to the Word of God. Don't allow the schooling to interfere in what God's Word is saying. I know many preachers that went to school. I know many preachers and many friends of mine that went over to Greensboro Institute, where Brother Bill Canoy was there. I know plenty that was over there. And they taught me a whole lot. They knew some stuff in the Word of God. They knew how to get in there and preach it and tell the people like it was. But the thing about it is, where are the people at today? We're there today. I know Brother Ben Poovey. I know he preached God's Word. I know that he stood on the King James. I knew that. And I know that. But where are the people that was under his preaching, under his leadership at the time? Where are they at? I don't know. Probably we can go to them, or you could probably go to them and you can say, well, somebody said something. I just didn't particularly care for it at the time. It knocked that little block off of the shoulder. Are they allowing that little feeling that they had up here to dictate between them and God and whom they're going to serve? And they're going to serve that little feeling that they had got up here, because somebody else knocked it off. And they doing everything they can to try to get another little feeling up there. Hey, we don't do that. And I don't believe Brother Ben Poovey done it. I don't believe Brother James Albert does it. I don't believe Brother Paul Sis does it. I don't believe Brother J.D. Walker does it. I don't believe that these preachers are here that is preaching the King James Bible does that. And is just doing it to hurt the people. I'm not here to hurt nobody. I'm not. The only thing that I would love to see is that more people would come in and they can feel the same joy that I feel. You say, well, preacher, well, why are you browbeating us? I'm not browbeating them. I'm just telling you what God's Word expects of us. God's Word expects us to learn His Word. And I am the poorest of them all to be up here trying to teach it. The only thing I can do, I can read the Scripture, and I can allow the Holy Spirit to do the rest. Because I can't. Because if I did, I'd be a nervous wreck up here. I'd be a complete nervous wreck. I'd be trembling. And you wouldn't be able to understand me. Or nothing. So it's not me. Yes, it may be my mouth is the portion that opens. And yes, it may be the sound of my voice. But as my voice goes over the people and to the people, it's the voice of God that uses my voice for His voice to go forward. See, Barnabas, he knew all of this because Barnabas knew about the church. He knew about the true church. Do we have family members that really don't even know anything at all about the true church? Do we? Yes, I got a few. I got some family members. They don't know. They think the church is this building. They think the church is this podium right here. They think the church is this rail right here. They think the church is this little stage up here that we call the altar. They think the church is where the church has got the pews in. But let me ask you something. When we leave tonight, when the last individual leaves and they flip a switch and all the lights are out, what do you have? What do you have? Darkness. Darkness. What does darkness represent in God's Word? Sin. But see, we come in we bring life within the four walls of the sanctuary. Come in and bring life. Why? Because we have experienced life through the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the blood, there is no remission. Without the blood, there is no forgiveness. Without the blood, there is no pardon. Without the blood, there is no heavenly home. Without the blood, everything that I've read and everything I've said tonight is me. Without the blood. Excuse me. Let's
See, I know it ain't you. I know I've been covered in the blood of Jesus. And I was telling somebody that one time, they said,
well, when? Now, I thought you was a Gentile. I said, yeah, I am. I was a Gentile. But thank the Lord, when Jesus saved my soul, he allowed his blood to run through these veins. I'm a Jewish Gentile. I says, I'm a Jewish Gentile. Amen. Now, Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this evening. Father, we thank you for the people, Lord, as they come out. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for the antennas tonight, the time that they gave me tonight, Father, that they seemed like they was listening. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you just help them in the days to come. And Father, we pray, Lord, for the families. We pray for even my own family, the ones that's not in church, the ones that's not saved, Father God. I pray, Lord Jesus, that they will get saved before it's everlasting too late. They will get into church. But Father, I know, Lord Jesus, I've done all I can do. I've been to them, I've talked to them. But Father, now I'm asking, Lord Jesus, for you to go and do your part. And I know that you want to, and you will. Because I've come to you and I've asked you. It is not that I haven't come to you and asked you before, but tonight, Lord, I know time is running out. We don't know how much more time we have left. But Father, for what time we do have left, we have to do what we can do to win our family to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, for the family members that I have, and maybe the others have that's not in church. Oh, Lord Jesus, we pray that the Holy Spirit of God would touch them on the way tonight. Yes, Father, we pray that you'll touch them tonight, that they cannot get no rest tonight. Because you will not allow it. And Father's, I'm not asking for that, for them to be miserable and not getting their sleep. But Father, I'm just asking you that because I am concerned about the destiny that they're trapped. Father, we do thank you. We love you on this side of eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.